welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Chris Brown. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
So, we're talking about healing, and let us begin by reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 40. There it is. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." Now, I'm reading from the NLT, the New Living Translation, but I'm pretty sure just about any translation you're looking at will have those two phrases or statements that Jesus said in pretty much the same translation in English. "I am willing, be healed." Verse 42, instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy." And you can look back in Leviticus and see those laws that were required, because leprosy was contagious and there were rules about, you know, how they interacted with other people. And of course, it was terrible for the people who had leprosy, because they were outcast from society and had to live in their own terrible, slummy kind of environment outside the towns that they lived in. And then Jesus said, "This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." But the man went and spread the word. He couldn't help himself, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. Hence Jesus saying, "Hey, can you just keep it down a little?" Like he said to people, "You've been healed, just don't tell everyone straight away." Right? He's just trying to keep the lid on it a little bit, you know, but of course, word got out. He couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, and people from everywhere kept coming to him. So this story or incident, not a made-up story, real incident, occurs, or should I say, is recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John, of course, does his own thing. But the Lord obviously wants us to take note. And I want you to notice, firstly, that Jesus shows his ability to heal, because he heals the guy instantly, which is wonderful, life-changing, total, you know, amazing for that guy. But of course, that makes sense that Jesus could do that, because he's God. And people were figuring that out. They were realizing there's something really special about this guy. And of course, God has the ability to do anything, including heal. So that is sort of obvious and understandable. But the big question is not whether God can heal. The big question that we want to answer today is whether God will heal, whether he wills it, whether he wants to. And the leprous man wonders this himself, because he asks, "Are you willing?" He might have had a real understanding and revelation. This is the Messiah. This is God in flesh. He's come, the promised one, the anointed one. He's, wow, but would he consider me? Would he, with all his power and his mission to do what he has to do and change the world and be the Prince of Peace and fulfill the prophecies, would he be interested in me? Would he be able to channel that power that I know he could use, but that's the question. Are you willing? And notice what Jesus says, simply and immediately, "I am willing." There's your answer. And those three words are really powerful, because they can bring the power of God into your life to know he's willing. Because when it comes to receiving healing from God and walking with divine care and protection and provision of health, knowing that God wants to heal is a really big issue. In fact, you could say it's the biggest issue. It may be the only blockage to prevent healing from coming into someone's life. Because again, most people don't doubt God's ability, but they often doubt God's willingness. Now, F.F. Bosworth, author of the classic and highly recommended book, Christ the Healer, wrote this: "It's impossible to claim by faith a blessing that we are not sure God offers. The power of God can be claimed only where the will of God is known." Isn't that well said? He writes, "Before people can have a steadfast faith for the healing of their body, they must be rid of all uncertainty concerning God's will in the matter. Appropriating faith cannot go beyond one's knowledge of the revealed will of God." One more quote from F.F. Bosworth: "Until the person seeking healing is sure from God's word that it is God's will to heal him, he's trying to reap a harvest where there's no seed planted." Because he talks about how ridiculous a farmer would be trying to expect a crop if he didn't plant any seeds. So we plant seeds of faith in our heart and then reap a harvest. I could go on. In fact, I could just read a couple of chapters of F.F. Bosworth and you'd be blessed. Well, better still, you go and buy the book and read it for yourself. It's brilliant. Now, we got quite a few parents in the church. We love it. We love children. And if you're a parent, think how much you love your kids. And that gives you some idea how God loves us as a perfect father. And when, or if, it is when, we're living in a broken world, when one of your kids gets sick, do you say, "Oh, well, it's good for you to suffer, you'll learn something"? Or do you say, "Oh, look, I could help you out. I could have got the opportunity and the ability to take you to the doctor or to reach up into that medicine cabinet or to do something to you, but I'm too busy to take you to the doctor because I've got to meet some friends to play golf." Well, no one's going to say that, are they? Or would you say this: "Now, son, I've promised to house you and feed you, but let's not get carried away with this whole provision thing, you know, about parenting. Oh, that's just going too far." I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but that's the view that some people have of God, that he'll save you from your sins, but that's it. But the Bible says God forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. It's a package deal, part of the atonement. So, of course, you don't say things like that to your kids. That's ridiculous. You hate seeing them sick and you want to do everything in your power with your willingness and your power combined to see them get better, don't you? Your desire is for them to be strong, healthy and happy. And that just mirrors God's desire for us to be strong and healthy and happy, because the Bible says we're made in his image. So we reflect his love for us in the way that we love our children. So this guy getting healed of leprosy, it's just one of many examples of Jesus demonstrating both his ability and, importantly, his willingness to heal. So the question that this guy had to Jesus, "Are you willing?" is clearly answered with a resounding yes for him, but also for us. And as I said, you see other examples when you read through the Gospels of Jesus willing and able and healing people. But here's another question, a similar one. Are you willing? Are you willing to believe that God is willing, that God wants to heal you, that he will heal you when sickness comes to attack you, that you're willing enough to press into God, to press into prayer, to study the scriptures, to learn about divine healing? Let's have a look at another story that demonstrates the importance of our willingness as well as God's willingness. If we read on in Mark, you get to chapter 10, look at verse 46. This time I might be reading from the NIV. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. I love this, but he shouted all the more. You're going to love that, don't you? He's like blind. He might be blind, but he's type A. He's like, don't tell me to be quiet. If I'm going to shout all the more. I love that. You know, I hate those signs when you're riding that say slow down. I'm riding my motorbike out in the country and I can see a sign slow down. Something in me goes, don't tell me to slow down. Double it and add 10. You know, sorry. Anyway, back to the legal speed limit in the Bible. Now, you can delete that, can't you? Edit that out. Right? It's just in case New South Wales police are watching. Right. Okay. Sorry. Really, really just... I like the fact that, you know, they shouted all the more. So, he had it in his heart. Again, he's calling him Son of David. That's a sign he's figuring out. This is not just any old teacher. He realises this is the Messiah. So he cries out. Jesus stops and says, call him. So they call to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. So the disciples and others probably think, Jesus, he's so important, he's not interested in this guy, he's a blind man, shut up, get it, big. But then Jesus says, call him. They're like, okay, well then the Lord's, this is a really cool thing, come on. Throwing his cloak aside, which is very interesting because that was his sort of identity, the beggar's cloak. So he throws that aside, he jumps to his feet, came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So Jesus asks what he wanted, and Bartimaeus expressed his willingness to be healed. Why did Jesus ask him? Isn't it obvious? There's a blind guy. Lord Jesus, I hear that you can do miracles. Where are you? I hear that you can do miracles. Yes. What would you like? Well, duh. You know, like, it seems obvious, but it's not always that obvious because some people put up with their sickness and they just learn to manage it. They just get comfortable with it and they find it hard to imagine anything else, getting a breakthrough or living in a different kind of way. They may even embrace and enjoy their condition because it becomes part of their identity. So, you know, God might have something in store for you. He might have something promised for you, something available for you, but you won't get it unless you want it. And our desire draws on the power of God for the salvation of our souls, for his guidance in life through the Holy Spirit, for revelation from the Word, if you want to read it, you bother to read the Bible, for God's promises of blessing to be fulfilled in our lives by faith, including healing. So there's this ongoing interaction between God's will and our will. And he's given us free will, so we get to decide, one, whether we believe he's willing and able to heal us, and two, whether we'll actually seek after that and go for it. And that's what Jesus was tapping into in this dynamic, this engagement with Bartimaeus. It's like, what do you want? Because I can help you, but you're going to draw on that help or not. It's up to you. So we've actually got a responsibility. We have power that influences how we live and how healthy we will be. And the most powerful thing we have at our disposal is our faith in God and in his promises. I mean, we've got other power, if you like. We, you know, obviously want to eat well and look after our bodies and exercise. And Hudson preached recently in that area that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, we have modern medicine and we, you know, appreciate that and go to doctors when we need to. But notice Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Isn't that fascinating? Because we know, well, hang on, Jesus has the healing power, but, you know, Bartimaeus didn't do it all by himself. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been blind in the first place or he would have got himself healed. No, so Jesus has the power, and Jesus has the willingness, but part of the whole tension and dynamic is Bart's faith, Bart's willingness that draws on the healing power from Jesus into his body. And that's why Jesus commends him and lets others know your faith. It's your faith. He's basically saying to other people, look what happened here. Not everybody necessarily gets all they can from God, but this guy did because he had faith and a heart and a willingness and a passion, and he wouldn't be told to shut up because he wanted something from God, and he was willing to throw off his cloak and shout all the more louder because he had passion for it. And so that's something we could really learn from, you know, because faith isn't passive. The Christian walk isn't, sort of fatalistic. Well, I've given my life to God and I got this sickness, and if he's a good God and I guess he knows my address, then he'll heal me if he wants to. That's not how it works. Because, you won't even get born again unless you decide to step into the forgiveness that God offers. Jesus has done it all. He's on the cross. He's died on the cross. He's provided for our sins to be forgiven, our souls to be saved, to receive eternal life. But we've heard people say, maybe you've been guilty of it too. Oh, well, God knows my address. Oh, well, I guess he's God. So we've got agency. We've got responsibility. Yeah, what are we going to do with what the Lord's done? And so the Bible says in Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it goes on, it says, anyone that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he exists, and that he rewards those who diligently seek after him. So we've got faith, we just need to use our faith. We need to press into God, press into his promises, believe what he's got to offer. Now, of course, you might think, oh, okay, I've got enough faith for salvation, but I just don't have that much faith for anything else, especially healing, because I've had this sickness, I've had this condition. I've got so many illnesses and issues, and I'm just not sure if anything can change. So how do you increase your faith? I'm glad you asked. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I love that. Faith comes. Faith can come to you. Hello, who is it? It's faith. Would you like me to come in? Oh, no, I'm busy. I'm watching Netflix. It's like, no, of course. You're going to go, yes, come on in, please. Faith is knocking on the door of our heart. It'll come if you want it to. You don't have to create it, conjure it up yourself. Faith will come. If you read the Bible, faith will come to you. God's word will speak to you. In fact, that word for word, by the word of God, that word is in Greek, rhema or rhema. That means a spoken word. So God's word speaks to us. And you might have had that experience. You read the Bible, you can read something you've read before, and sometimes you go, oh, wow, oh. And it's like the words jump off the page. When your heart's attuned, when you're keen, when you're hungry, when you're willing to hear what God has got to say. It's relevant if you want to read it. If you want to hear it, then faith will come. Because we get influenced by whatever we listen to. You know, the people you hang around with, the news that you listen to or watch. And, of course, if you're not interested in what God's got to say, and if you don't read the Bible, then faith won't come and faith will elude you. And that's where a lot of people are at, Christians included. Sometimes, oh, I just don't have faith for it. Well, have you read what God says in the Bible? Oh, well, I'm busy. I mean, occasionally I'll be. Well, you're reading all this other stuff. That's filling your heart, your mind. And so this is the problem. Some people live with doubt and fear and all kinds of, negative feelings and attitudes because of the food that they're giving their soul. They're feeding off a terrible diet, like junk food. You know, we know that junk food ruins your body. Sure, all things in moderation. You know, have a bit of this, nice hot chips and a burger or Mars bar, knock yourself out, but we don't live all the time, with that. We want our body to be strong and healthy, so we feed it good, healthy stuff. We should do the same with our spirit, so many people are tuning in to what the world's got to say. They wonder why their attitudes are so poor, because they're feeding off worldly attitudes. They're on social media. all the time, so their spirit's gobbling up all this fear and worry and angst and anger. They follow every negative news story, so they spiral into sort of a sense of the world's coming to an end, and instead of being grateful, they get into the habit of complaining because everybody's whinging, everybody's angry about something, about the government, the boss, the health system, the education system, the any other system you can think of, you know. So people, it's very easy to go down that track. So it's no wonder that, you know, people, it's not just physical health, but mental health is at a low because people's brains are on a terrible diet, you know. So if you live like that, well, it's going to have a devastating effect on your heart and mind. But you don't have to. You can still find out what's going on in the news, but you don't feed off it all the time. You feed off God's word. You listen to what he's saying. And when you do, faith comes. Belief in God's word, God's promises will rise. You'll actually find yourself thinking more positively. Your heart will get lifted up. There's a buoyancy in your spirit. You'll shrug off what the world is saying because you're hearing what God's word is saying. And you'll manage the bad news that the doctor gives you because Dr. Jesus has given you a better prognosis because you're hearing what he's got to say. So we can be, and we need to be, people of faith, yeah, who believe for good health. And parents, dads, I have a chapter in my book about this, for your kids, how to stand up for your kids, how to fight the good fight of faith, proclaim God's healing power over them so they don't grow up sickly and strong. And we need to stay strong in faith for ourselves, especially as you mature. That's the phrase. I remember in my 40s, so long ago, way back then, I remember people saying, oh, it's tough, you know, you're feeling the aches and pains, don't you? And you're slowing down. And I thought, no, because I didn't. I was fine. And I was reasonably fit. And then the same into my 50s. I have some mates going, oh, I can't do that anymore. And, creaky, every time I get out of bed, I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? Well, now I'm in my 60s. I get it. I realise, okay, this body is not going to last forever, and it's sending me that message sometimes. There's a few aches and pains. The body is starting to say, hey, just take it easy. Watch your step. Use railings. Slow down, especially in Bali. If you're new to the church, you may know that I fought off a crocodile, I think. Wasn't that the story? No, I fell into the edge of a fish pond, concrete fish pond, broke my arm. I used to get a sore shoulder only because I did a really hard workout at the gym. These days, I've just got to turn over the wrong way in bed, and the next day, and every sinew and muscle is, you know. So, you know, and it's like the muscles and the tendons and all that, they want some attention. They're like saying, okay, we've gone for 60 years without giving you any trouble. It's our time to shine. We want you to notice that we're here. So we're going to send out little nerve endings of pain regularly. So as you grow old, as you mature, you have two choices. You can just go with the pain, go with the ailments. You can let them just take over. You can focus on them. You can worry about them. You can do this. You can tell everybody about them. Oh, man, some blokes, the motorbike guys, some of them are the worst because they start talking about all the terrible motorbike crashes they've had. It's like, I don't want to hear that. And I go, I got this pain. And then the doctor says, and then I was with a couple of blokes up at Jerry's, the cafe. We go recently. One said, I've got to go to the doctor. And then he started telling us, I'm like feeling like saying, well, just shut up and go to the doctor. Don't tell us all about it. And this guy said, yeah, I've got to go too. I've got to go to the doctor as well. So they're all falling apart at the seams. So, you know, you don't tell everybody you meet all the details of your latest health crisis. I loved what Nikki said. She said, she didn't even tell her husband. She didn't want to name the condition. Now, that's not to say she's keeping secrets from her husband. She just didn't want to give it the power or the glorification or the focus or the door for the devil to go into her head. I've got, you know, whatever. I've got this thing, you know. And of course, then she did tell her husband and some trusted friends. She didn't go on whinging and telling the whole world and posting on Facebook, look, here I am at the doctor. You know, his selfies. Look, I'm having surgery. You know, look. I mean, isn't it crazy what some people put up It's like, okay, just post a photo of the nice meal you're having down at Terrigal. That's great, but not every single detail of your life, every minute of the day. Anyway, so I love that. She just kept it under control, yeah? And then you tell a few people who will believe with you, tell the right people. So that's your other choice. Instead of going on and focusing on it and giving it all the attention, you carry on believing for good health. So don't give up on the idea as you get older, you know, that pain is here to stay. For example, I, you know, used to run long distances, and into my 50s, I was still going okay. Then I had an accident, a vehicular accident. We won't mention how many wheels the vehicle had because we don't want to, you know, go there. But there may have only been two wheels on the vehicle. Anyway, I hit a tree at some speed. And Ruth's told the story how she heard the gurgling, you know, when I was sleeping in bed because I broke some lungs. Several lungs were broken. Broke some ribs and a few lungs. I don't know how many they're in there, but a couple of them were broken. I had water in the lungs, you know. But that's that. You can get over all that. That doesn't stop you running. What really stopped me running were my hip flexors, which I don't really know what they are. But Luke, Michaela, Rashita, there's several physios. When you ask for your free massage and consultation over coffee, oh, you're a physio. Oh, I've got this pain. Can you? I've got this same pain. Oh, yeah. So don't do that thing. But, you know, they would tell you what hip flexors are. But anyway, something in the hip. And I just couldn't run for more than a couple of kilometres. And that went on for years, 5 years. And I just thought, oh, well, that's it. I can't run anymore. And that's annoying because that means less cereal and chocolate. Because that I don't enjoy running. I just enjoy the effect afterwards so I can have a bowl of cereal. The running's painful, but it's the afterglow of, oh, now I can eat a bowl of cereal. Chocolate, you know, you burn off the calories and carbs and all that. So, but all it was a bit of time for my body to heal. So after about 5 years, I tried running because I wanted to stay fit. The hip was fine. It wasn't for some years, and it did take, you know, when you're a little kid, they just bounce and they don't break anything. They're fine in 5 minutes, you know. Okay, you get older, things might take time, but they can still be healed. You know, you don't have to just go, oh, that's it for life. And so, and of course, I don't do marathons anymore, but I can do a 10K run, which I do in November with some of the young ones. They just finish a little ahead of me. They have a coffee and wait for me. Actually, they probably go and have brunch, a swim, lunch, a stroll around the entrance sometime late in the afternoon, the sun's setting. I come in there and, they sort of pick me up, hobble in, put me in the ambulance. I'm in the car, take me home. But look, the point is you can stay strong, fit and healthy as you age, but it's up to you and your attitude, so just don't give up and give in to some ailment or pain or negative prognosis, amen? Believe for health, believe for healing, because we have power, like I said, to employ in this area, power of faith in God's promises, power of resistance to sickness and conditions that try to prevent us from living in good health, and the power of a positive attitude. Listen, Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Now, I read a classic example of this recently. I'll come to a close soon. Soon's a relative term. Jean Calment was born in France in 1875. She died, you ready, in 1997. Now, how good is your maths? Yes, that's 122 years after she was born. She is the oldest person ever to have lived outside ancient Bible times. So, of course, she was asked in her latter years the secret to her longevity. She replied in one word, laughter, in French. I don't know what the word is, but she said it in French because she was French. And then she went on, she said, always keep a smile. I attribute my long life to that. I believe I will die laughing. That's part of my program. She also said something like, I've waited, when she turned 100 or 110, she said, I've waited this long to be famous. I'm going to enjoy it for all it's worth. So she just thought, I'm getting a good decade out of this. Now I'm famous. I'm sticking around. I'm enjoying this. Another part of her program was praying every morning, giving thanks to God and attending Mass every Sunday in her retirement home. She only moved into the retirement home at the age of 110. She lived on her own until then. So, and she didn't have any, like, the diet wasn't the big deal. It was her attitude. It was a buoyancy and enjoyment of life. Isn't that interesting? That is, you know, psychosomatic diseases. People, you know, get all sorts of conditions because of their thoughts and heart condition. Well, conversely, she kept herself healthy and strong because she was so positive. So embrace and enjoy life. Amen? Laugh and smile and be grateful and fight against sickness. And most importantly, remember that God wants you, wills you to be strong, healthy and fit. And he's promised it. Now, of course, we have issues and attacks of sicknesses. And there are mysteries and we don't always get instantly healed and fixed up. But that doesn't mean we just throw the baby out with the bathwater and step away from the promises of God. You know, yeah, let past experiences or others' experience cloud our understanding of God's will. And we see it in the scriptures. We see it in the gospel. We see it in the life of Jesus, willing to heal people. Amen? Come on. So let's pray. We'll come to a close. And then we'll go and who knows, if the water's on, have a coffee, otherwise a bottle of water or something. And if you do want prayer, when we're finished, because we've got kids to collect and stuff, if you do want prayer, I'll be here and Ruth and others and we'll pray for you. And we will do so throughout this month. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today and forever. And so we think of that man with leprosy. We think of Bartimaeus who's seeing Bartimaeus and that man healed of leprosy. And we have the opportunity to step into the same power of God for ourselves, the same willingness that you have to bring healing. And so stir our hearts to do that, Lord. Help us to be on the front foot of revelation and experience of your healing power, and help us to share that with others and let faith rise in our hearts, our church and our community for experience of the goodness of God, the healing power of God, the ways of God. We thank you for the power of faith rising within us. We trust in you against all circumstances and storms of life and sicknesses that come. We will believe in Jesus. We will be a people of faith. We will fight the good fight of faith in Jesus' name. I thank you. You touch every life here today. And most importantly, we love you, Jesus, for the incredible gift of eternal life. And if you've never given your life to Christ, you can do that today. Come and see me at the end of the service. Even if you want prayer for healing in your body, most importantly, we need to get healing in our soul. Get born again, receive eternal life and forgiveness from God. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you can do that today. Or pray a prayer of recommitment of your life to him. Make sure you're walking with Jesus, living in your heart. Come and see me if you want that prayer as well. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.